that there's just no way to soften the truth to make it palatable for everyone to hear. While you can easily change a lie to suit the hearer, truth always remains unchanged and simply states what is. Nothing more, nothing less. If we're wise, we'll be willing to listen to the truth, even when it hurts. For it's far more dangerous for us to ignore God than to hear his painful truth. This is always true when it comes to eternal matters. When it comes to the truth of God's word, we always need to hear what he says. Unfortunately, there's also no shortage of people who want nothing more than to deceive us and keep us from hearing what the God of the universe says to us in his word. Welcome back. This is Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim moves into Galatians 3 and begins to unpack the things that Paul has to say about false teachers, those who listen to them. Join us as we hear from the Word of God.
So if you would turn to Galatians chapter 3, and find the first verse. And once you have found the first verse, if you would please stand with me, we will honor God with the reading of his word. Today we're going to read the first six verses, but we're really going to concentrate on the first verse. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Oh, Father, Lord, I ask that you be with us as we study. Lord, I thank you for the forgiveness of sin. I thank you for your grace. Lord, I do not have to jump through hoops to be forgiven. I only have to be yours. And I don't even do that by myself. Oh, Father, I pray for those who are here today that they would be recipients of your grace, that they would, by the hearing with faith, belong to you, and that today, by your Spirit, they would be moved to your glory. I ask these things, Lord, as you use me to speak. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. The text this morning, Paul's not messing around. The first two chapters, Paul has given you reason why he is an apostle. He has given you reason why his gospel is the true gospel. And then he has supported it with the fact that the Jerusalem apostles agreed. In fact, he shows his authority by the fact that he even addressed Peter's mistake or hypocrisy when it came to eating with the Gentiles. Now Paul turns his focus on the purpose of the letter. Those who have been led astray to another gospel, and as he says, if there was such a thing as another gospel. And he hits the Galatians right between the eyes, and he says, O foolish Galatians. Now, in today's world, if somebody came up and called you foolish, you'd probably throw a party for them, wouldn't you? You'd probably shake their hand and thank them. Isn't that right? Probably not. Probably not. We do not care to be called foolish, do we? We do not care to be put down or to talk down to in any way. In fact, when people talk down to us, it gets our fighting side up, doesn't it? But Paul is standing for the gospel. I was listening to a John MacArthur sermon on this subject, and he said that J.B. Phillips' translation puts it this way, "Oh, you dear idiots." That's really getting it right out there, isn't it? But he's hammered him right between the eyes with their foolishness. The foolishness of believing a gospel that isn't a gospel. The foolishness of believing the lies that come when we are a follower of Christ. We have received, if we believe, if we are His, we have received the truth, because a lie will never set you free and a lie will never save you. So you have received the truth, period. Some people receive the truth and it seems like they're done. They do not grow further. They do not move further. They just, that's it. I have met people who have professed to be Christians 30, 40, 50 years, and they barely knew the elementary things of Christ. And then I've met people who are young, that have been fired up by God, and have dived into His Word, and they know His Word well. It's important that at any age that we know the Word of God, isn't it? It's important that we not be foolish. I'm kind of a blunt person, so I really like that J.B. Phillips translation. Oh, you dear idiots. Paul goes on to say, who has bewitched you? Who has confused you? Who has hypnotized you? Who has drawn you away? In that same J.B. Phillips translation, after he says, oh, you dear idiots, he goes on to say, how can you be so stupid? That's what it means to be bewitched. Of course, we live in a time of positive affirmation, right? I can't tell you how many times somebody has told me not to give the Ten Commandments the way they're written, but to make them positive. Well, I think God knows best. If this is how He chose to have them written, so be it, right? As I look at this, and as I was preparing this, what it really comes down to is believing false teachers, prophets. It comes down to believing those who would tell you a lie. Why would somebody do that? Because they do not love God. We know, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we know, we've mentioned this often, that nothing in this world can take us out of the hands of God, right? If we truly belong to Him, we cannot go out of His hand, even in our sin, if we really belong to Him. So, if someone is bewitched by a false doctrine who truly belongs to Him, what is the advantage of the evil one? It's their witness, isn't it? Friends, people are watching you. There is not a person in this room who somebody is not watching to see how you do things. One of the great things, I'm going to use a story from Palmer's room, is one of the doctors saw the open Bible sitting on the cart in the hospital room, and asked them about it, and they said that they are Christians and that they read the Scriptures. Now, I might get a little this wrong. If I do, Robert's listening, he'll correct me. They asked him about it, and the doctor said, yes, I read the Scriptures, but he stopped short of saying, I'm a Christian. There's a lot of people who read the Scriptures, aren't there, who do not know Christ. As the days have gone on, this doctor has become a very valuable ally to Robert and Tracy. This doctor has become one who keeps pointing them back to prayer as well. But folks, there are others who would have you believe that prayer is not important, that God's Word is not important, or that you could believe anything. We've talked many times in here about the entertainment that goes on in churches. And I have told you many times that I believe if the rapture took place during church, most churches wouldn't know it happened until they left. I believe that with all my heart. We've talked about how churches rig up a wire and a pastor comes in on a wire dressed as Batman to preach. We've talked about the church in Derby, Kansas that set up a wrestling ring or boxing ring on the platform, and the preacher dressed as a boxer or wrestler gets in there and preaches. And we think, what foolishness, right? people want to be entertained. And in the name of Jesus Christ, they will pull you away from Him with entertainment, with those things that would make you turn away from hearing the truth. For the entertainment and the purpose of entertainment, people are drawn away from truth. I've heard many times over the years, I've shared this some, that what you draw somebody to church with is what you have to keep them there. I read an article the other day about an old TV show named MacGyver. Anyone remember MacGyver? The reason that show went off the air, they said, was really because they kept trying to outdo themselves every week to keep people's attention and to keep people drawn in. And they got to a point where they didn't know how to outdo themselves anymore. And so the show's ratings went down and the show was canceled. That's what churches are doing. Churches are trying to entertain people instead of train people. They're trying to entertain people. Instead of filling them with God's Word, they'd rather fill them with cotton candy. Now, folks, there's a place for entertainment. I mean, we can be entertained with our TVs, our radios. We can be entertained with our computers, with our apps on our phones. We can be entertained by our neighbors, by our children, by our parents. We don't need entertainment when we come into God's house. We need truth. Now the problem, and we'll go back over it probably every week as we go through Galatians, the problem was adding to faith. The Judaizers wanted the Galatians to add circumcision to faith. And that was a lie. That is a distortion of God's word. What that is false prophets coming in to lead astray even the elect, if that were possible. And we have it all around us. There are things being taught in church that have nothing to do with Jesus Christ. There are things being taught in church that have nothing to do with His word, with heaven or hell, and certainly nothing to do with His glory. But this isn't anything new, is it? I'm going to read some verses to you about the false prophets, the false teachers. Matthew 7 and 15. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." Some of your versions may say ravenous wolves. Matthew 24, verse 24. "The false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs of wonder to deceive, if possible, even the elect," as I was just saying. I mentioned this morning, when I was growing up, there used to be this show on Channel 11 in this area called National Geographic. And every week on National Geographic, there would be something about the nature and wild and all of that. At least every other week, there was a lion killing something. And I watched that growing up. And what did that lion do? That lion would come into a herd of animals, whatever type of animal that might be, there's different ones each week, and he will cut out one or two, and then he will wear them down and tear them apart and kill them. What does a wolf do? Wolf does the exact same thing. We saw that on National Geographic, didn't we? A wolf will do the exact same thing. A wolf will get into a herd of animals, and usually a wolf isn't by himself, and they will single out somebody, one animal, and they will rip it apart. The false prophet is doing the exact same thing. They're seeking who they can destroy. That's what the false prophet does. The false prophet wants to destroy what God has built up. It goes all the way back to the garden that way, doesn't it? My paraphrase of the fall of man would be simply this, that the serpent comes to Eve and says, "Did God really say?" First thing was put doubt in what is God's word. Now, Eve knew what God had said. Adam knew what God had said. They knew it. Did God really say that you can't eat of the trees of the garden? She said, "Well, we can eat of all the trees of the garden except the one in the midst of the garden, lest we die." Yeah, I know, my King James is showing. "Lest we die." And the serpent says, but you surely won't die. God knows that when you eat of it, you will be like him. You will know the difference between good and evil. Now listen to what Eve decided and how she made her decision. She looked and saw that the fruit was good to eat. She justified it, didn't she? She justified what the serpent had said in her own way, and that it was good to discern good and evil. And then she did eat. That's what the false prophets do. That's what the false teachers do. They challenge God's word. And we, like Eve, begin to allow that to adjust our thinking. Because, I mean, doesn't it make sense that God doesn't want you to know that you could be just like him? It made sense to her. Don't the lies that people tell us about God's word make sense more often than not? Especially if we do not know the word of God, those lies really make sense to us. All you got to do is repeat this prayer after me and you'll be saved. That's what we teach. I've heard it thousands of times. Or in other words, let me rephrase that. Did God really say all you have to do is believe and that he gives you that? That's what that says. Because man feels that man has to be a part of salvation. Man has elevated himself to such a high position that he feels like he has to be a part of his own salvation. In fact, we think so much of ourselves, we think that we can tell the creator of the universe no. We think we can tell him no. We think we can tell him that it's our way or the highway. If you want us to believe, then we're going to do it our way. That's foolishness, isn't it? But you know, that's what people believe. As I continue with these verses, Romans 16, verse 18. I got a lot of scripture for you today, folks. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of the naive people. They deceive the minds. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them. Folks, the thing that is under attack more than anything else in God's word is God's sovereignty. Because if the false prophet, if the evil one can reduce our understanding of God's sovereignty, then we get to the idea of who is God to tell me? Then we get to the idea that God is arrogant. Then we get to the idea that we know better than God. And it all comes from reduction of his sovereignty. Why do we talk so much about God's sovereignty? Because that is a foundation of understanding his greatness. Let me tell you just how serious the Bible is about these false prophets. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 20. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name being God, anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, it says, is to be put to death. That's how serious this is. That in the Old Testament, if somebody prophesied a lie, if somebody taught a lie concerning God in his name, or taught in the name of another god, they're to be put to death. Jeremiah 23 and verse 16. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. See, this is an issue that goes back as far as the garden. And it is a major issue today. If you've watched the news in the last 6 months, if you have watched a political debate in the last 6 months, you have to ask yourself, who's telling the truth? Because everybody can't be telling the truth and everybody's saying something different, right? So in today's world, what we do, we say, well, truth is relative. What's truth for me isn't truth for you, or vice versa. That's a lie. Truth is truth. And ultimate truth is God and His Word. But when you listen to these people on these debates, you have to ask yourself, who's telling the truth? They both say things that sound like they're convicted about those things. They both say things that sound good. And they both say things, both sides, that try to make the other look bad. So you ask yourself, where's the truth? Not to side with anybody from this pulpit, but I did hear a comment in the debate the other night that I loved, and it's for whoever. And that was, you are entitled to your own opinion, but not your own facts. That's a really good statement, isn't it? We are entitled to our opinion of everything, but we're not entitled to our own facts of God's Word. God's Word isn't about what it means to me. It's about what it means to Him. But the false prophet wants to twist it, turn it, and lead you astray with the Word of God. The devil even tried to do that to Jesus, didn't he? When he said, after Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, his fast, he says, Scripture, but he misuses it. And Jesus has to set him straight. Folks, Scripture is misused around us every day. And I will say this, being Baptist doesn't make it any better than being any other denomination. I have seen and listened to enough Baptists who didn't know the first thing about God's Word, and how they were ever called a preacher is beyond me. We need to be people of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in the 12th verse. And I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want the opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. People want to tear down what is true to build themselves up. When I used to run the chain of furniture stores, I had managers that worked for me that were very good. Those managers did everything they could to hire people that were at the top of the list of ability. And then I had managers that would hire people that they could control, people that they could manipulate, and people that would make them look good. At least they thought would make them look good, because they were so far beneath them. Those managers were failures. They did not do a good job. Those managers who hired people who were better than themselves, those managers were far more successful because they surrounded themselves with the best they could surround themselves with. False prophets want to tear down those people around them like that bad manager. I want you to hear these words from 1 John. 1 John, the first epistle of John, beginning in the 4th chapter in the 1st verse. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Test the spirits. Test to see if they're truly from God. How do you test the spirits, folks? How do you test them? Look at two things. Are they speaking what it says in the Scripture in context? That's first. If they're not doing that, then you know that they are not a spirit sent from God. Period. Because nothing, no one that speaks a lie is from God. The second way you test the spirits is when they are saying things that come from God. What is the motive behind what they're saying? If the motive behind what they're saying is not the glory of God, then they aren't from God. Because all who are sent from God, all spirits that are sent from God, all teachers who are sent from God, have one focus and one focus only. Glorify God. Period. So when you meet people, when people come into your lives who appear to be leaders, who appear to be people who know God's word, what is their motive? I'm afraid we find too often the motive is selfishness. It is themselves and not God. As I continue in that same text, this is how we can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But we have to listen to those spirits, because what they do is kind of like going back to those political debates. You ever listen to somebody give an answer on a political debate and then scratch your head and say, what'd they say? You ever talk to somebody and they give you a statement and you walk away thinking, I don't even know what they said. There are those who will skirt their way around Jesus has come in the flesh and is from God, just so that they can deceive you.
There may be no more important skill for you to develop than the ability to test the spirits and see whether they're speaking the truth of God's word or whether they're speaking the imaginations of their own wicked hearts. For it is always one or the other. There's no middle ground when it comes to truth, and it's vital for us to stand firmly on this ground. God alone speaks the truth of our existence. Nothing else matters. It is far more important for us to know what God says than anything else in the world. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we'd love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. That number again is 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Once more, that's www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request, for a gift of any size, we'll send you the book On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar using stories from history with a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to light from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here with today's final word. Today, I want to again talk with you just a moment about abolishing abortion. Why is it important for us to abolish abortion and not just regulate it? Another reason is simply this, that it hurts the woman who has had the abortion. There is a grief, there is a depression that so often seems to come when someone has had an abortion, and it affects the rest of their life. I have talked to a number of women who had abortions, some of them as many as 40 years ago, and they are still affected by the abortion. Now, there is one thing that overcomes that, and that's the grace of God. And we need to take that grace of God to them, but also at the same time do everything we can to stop it so that no other woman has to face that. Be in prayer with me about this. And until next time, sola Deo Gloria. To God be the glory alone.